He will be drawing from this and from an Old Testament book during the subsequent days of the week, and we anticipate the joy of your fellowship with us as often as you can. Here in this lovely letter, written from the prison at Rome, the apostle himself, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, he uses words which are not to be found really elsewhere in the New Testament. It's not very often that the Holy Spirit puts on record inspired eloquence, and yet here he does in this particular letter, as the apostle out of the grim and circumscribed conditions of the prison, he soars to the great heights of the heavenlies, and he unfolds some of the wonderful and rich things of God. During the days, as I've said, we should be looking at some of them, but I just want to pick out one little expression this evening by way of introduction. Our brother mentioned it in his prayer, but he wasn't aware of what I was going to speak on this evening. And in the first three chapters, which deals with the wealth of the believer, this same word reoccurs. In chapter 1 and in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." In verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" Three times the word exceeding occurs in this epistle. In this chapter, in verse 19, in chapter 2, and in verse 7, and then in chapter 3, and in verse 20. We will just quickly look at them, and I just remind you that the association of these three words, in the first instance here, is referring to that mighty dynamism of the risen Christ. I want you to share with us tonight in what our risen Lord is doing today. I indicated this morning that the eastern parts of Europe is an area of the world, and one of many, where the Lord is working today in a wonderful and mighty fashion. He is doing things far beyond we can ask or think. He is doing exceedingly great things. And the demonstration of the exceeding greatness of his power, I hope you will capture as you look at the slides with us tonight. I intend to take you on a tour to four countries where communism has held sway for a long time, where for millions of people, life is very restricted. They are lacking many of the basic necessities of life. They don't know not the basic joy of opportunity to travel and to visit and go abroad. They are kept veritably within a certain prison. And then life is circumscribed from the cradle to the grave in other ways. You have to go to the school that they dictate. You live where they dictate. You have your education as they dictate. Your income is dictated. The whole of your life is dictated. And you have no jurisdiction over your independent actions. The fundamental great contrast between West and East is whether you have an independence, whether you can be a personality of your own. The thrilling thing that we've discovered through this quarter of a century and more in Eastern Europe, that in spite of the body being circumscribed by man-made rules, and man set up government, it's an astonishing fact that the spirit of man in relationship to Christ, set free from sin, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, is demonstrated a million times over throughout the Eastern Bloc of Europe. God is doing great and wonderful things. He is enabling men and women to soar above their circumstances, and they are proving the demonstration of the exceeding greatness of his resurrection, life, and power. For them, living in Christ is the great focal point of living. And that is why their meetings are packed. Their love for Christ is so devoted, so dedicated. That is why their interest in the things of God surpasses all other things. Perhaps in many cases, they are forced into it. But as a young man said to me over 30 years ago, "I wish I could live in a communist world. At least I would know who mine enemies are. Quite a thought. Often today in our subtle world, we don't. And especially in our very cleverly disguised Western civilization, where too often Satan appears as an angel of light. Oh, praise God for the risen power and the glorious outflow of resurrection grace and strength in the life of the believer. And in the second thought, in chapter 2 and in verse 7, the apostle moves on, pointing out that what has been wrought in Christ has been passed over to the believer. That very same power is working in us. But firstly, it already promises what he's going to do in the ages to come. He's going to demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace. We were talking about grace this morning. Here is the future promise of grace. Grace which will overflow out into all eternity, the ages upon the ages. There will be no limit, not to the thousands and to the hundreds of thousands of years. How little concept we have of what eternity really means. And here we have the promise. This is the exceeding riches of his grace that he has shown to us in his kindness through Jesus Christ. And for every believer, here is a resource for the future. Here is a promise that will take us out into all the limitless ages to come. Abundant grace, overflowing grace, the exceeding riches of his grace. It is something the communist, the atheist, and the many other ists know nothing about. But we in Christ, if you are in Christ, you can know the sincere reality of this. That here is a past, the glorious resurrection of Christ. There is a future, the exceeding riches in the ages to come. There is a present. And that is what he refers to in chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his power that works right here and now in us. Here is the exceeding greatness of his power, the exceeding abundance of answered prayer. Oh, that we might thrill over this. So many of you have walked with Christ for decades. You have seen many prayers answered. Oh, that we might enter more fully into this life of trust and dependence. We so often say that Satan is truly afraid when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. There, the saint is at his greatest strength in total dependence upon the living God. And where we are able to move the arm which moves the world, there we are able to influence the vital power center and communication center of time and eternity. All that we might know the increasing greatness, this exceeding abundance of power that works in you and in me, if we but know liberation from sin, its thraldom, its consequences, its judgment, its ultimate outworking, and we are brought into the liberty of the children of God, liberty in Christ, free to pray for others, free to bow the knee for him, the exceeding abundance of what he is able to do, far above what we can ask or think. And we shall see in these pictures what the Lord is working today in these many parts of the world, and particularly throughout these four communist countries I take you to. We're going over then to get a glimpse of Poland. We've all been aware in recent years of the struggles of that valiant country. And then I'm going to take you for a brief while into Germany, East Germany, and quickly through Czechoslovakia and out into Romania. Perhaps countries you've never heard of, or certainly not seen, certainly will have heard of them, but have got little idea of what is transpiring inside there in the name of Christ. I can assure you that the Lord is doing great and wondrous things. But keep your eyes and ears open. Pick up those things that will feed your prayers in coming days. Enable you to pray intelligently. Enable you to move the arm that controls those lands, and see what God is doing in a most marvelous way. Here is some more of the wealth the fullness of God in Christ, that you and I, and all those who are in Christ, are able not only to enjoy, but to apply to the glory of his name and the furtherance of his kingdom and work amongst men. So with these little thoughts in mind, let's move over to the slides. I'm going down here, and then we'll get the lights and everything else going. I hope all of you are able to hear me, and now let's move on our journey over into this part of Europe. With the aid of the pointer, I'm indicating where the Iron Curtain, which splits Germany, comes along the southernmost border of Austria, of Czechoslovakia, around the eastern edge of Austria, across that part of Hungary, the north of Yugoslavia, and down to the Adriatic. There, the barrier runs right across the heart of Europe. And as the late Sir Winston Churchill said, behind that barrier are to be found all the ancient capitals and states of Eastern Europe. Very quickly, let me count them up for you. There's little Albania down here, with its 2.5 million people, 70% Muslim, and only 10% nominally Christian, the only totally atheistic state in the world. No religion whatsoever is tolerated, encouraged, or permitted, and anybody trying to practice it is severely punished. Many have been found in prison. There's even been one priest in past 10 years educated for executed for just a slight difference for baptizing a child. And then we go on our journey and we see that right over here there is Russia, the Soviet Union, which dominates the whole of this area. And related right across the Black Sea is Bulgaria. The Soviet Union is one of the most oppressive systems, not totally disallowing religion, but certainly placing many, many restrictions upon those who would practice it. I want to remind you tonight that the constitution of all these communist countries says that you may believe in God and you may practice it, whether you are a Jew, a Muslim, a Protestant, an evangelical, an Orthodox, or whatever you may be. That is what it says. But what it allows is something quite different. So we have to bear in mind that often what is written down in paper is very different to what you get in practice. We have then 7 other countries. Little Bulgaria, dominated from the Soviet Union. On Tuesday night, I shall be showing a film on what Christian life is like in the Soviet Union, if you're able to join us. Then Bulgaria is dominated from there. There are some Christians in Bulgaria, about 5,000 Pentecostals, about 800 Baptists, and only 200 to 300 from assemblies who are not recognized. They have to meet privately and secretly if they're going to have any meetings at all. The rest of these satellite countries are various in their size, culture, religion, language, and everything else. These are the countries where we go to a great deal. Only a month ago, I was in Poland, often in Czechoslovakia, traveled through East Germany, in Hungary just back in November, and in Yugoslavia in the summer, and Romania just a little before that. And I will be in most of them, God willing, sometimes with my wife, during the next few months. Now, as we look at these countries, I remind you that Romania, Czechoslovakia, and East Germany, they are not as badly oppressed as Russia, but pretty close. They have only limited scriptures, limited books, only limited amount of operations amongst young people, camps, conferences, putting up buildings, new churches, and the like. But their other 3 counterparts, Poland, Hungary, and Yugoslavia, they have considerable more opportunity. I don't speak of freedom. I speak of opportunity and facility. They do print Bibles here, and here, and here. They also circulate them fairly freely. They have opportunities for young people's work, for developing new assemblies and putting up new buildings, for allowing their people to travel, and many other opportunities which Romania will never allow their Christians and even in Czechoslovakia, is severely restricted. What I'm saying to you is this, that there is a great work for God going on in these lands, but every country is different. Now let's see a bit of the contrast as we go on. Enough geography. We go on our way over the mighty mountains of Central Europe, the Alps, in the beautiful Austria, where we lived throughout the 50s, where we engaged in a great deal of varied evangelism, and where we saw something of the beauties of the deep snows, and which I believe some of you have tasted in recent months. For those of you visiting from the north, well, you will be that much more familiar. You join us as being part of the snowbirds. But how we appreciate the different seasons of the year. So vital for the growth and the development of man in all the aspects of his life. We move on from the beauties over to where East meets West. And here at the Berlin Wall, we get a little idea of what the communist Iron Curtain means. Here, the wall was put up in 1960 to prevent the flow of people from East to West. East Germany had lost 3.5 million people. People are not allowed to come within a mile of these crossing points. There you see the tank traps, the barbed wire fences, there the further concrete walls, and there some of the soldiers who day and night guard the wall right across Berlin, 40 miles of it, and many thousands of soldiers, and then the powerful lights that they can switch on in the case of anybody trying to escape, and also underground they have the landmines ready to blow up if they're touched. This, then, indicative of what life is like behind the Iron Curtain, and the people not allowed to come within any distance of these crossing points. As you bear that in mind, we go on over into Poland. The three men who have changed the course of political world history, Marx, Engels, and Lenin, and the people of Warsaw march past because they have to, not because they want to. In a communist country, young people are indoctrinated from the moment they go to school. And that means, by the time, for many of them, they reach their early or mid-teens, they've had enough of communism, and they turn away from it. And so it is that in most of these communist bloc countries, the communist party is not very large. Don't get the impression that the peoples of Eastern Europe are communist. They are not. Even in the Soviet Union, only 7% of the population, about 70 million, are in the party. In Yugoslavia, it's up to 10%. In Poland, it's only 5%. And elsewhere, it's somewhere between 5 and 10%. This is the size of the Communist Party. They are an elite group. They enjoy all the very fine perks, a new bourgeoisie, a lot of income, and lovely houses, free to travel, excellent food, all the advantages of being in the exclusive club of the party. For Christians, that's no major problem. They just steer clear of it. But also in Poland, you have another unique feature. No other country has 82% of its people associated with a single religion, as here in Poland is in the Roman Catholic Church. And as a result, there is a great deal of influence at grassroots level. You see, for over 1,000 years, this country has been Roman Catholic. And only back in 1947 was the church ever first separated from the state. But since that time, the church has contended and won many opportunities, teaching its children, training its priests, developing its seminaries, maintaining its monastic orders, developing its radio, literature, and every other type of religious outreach and activity. Consequently, here is a unique feature. In every communist country, all religious groups are looked upon as equal. And though the Catholic Church is 82%, and the Lutheran Church is only about 1% or a half of 1% with its 150,000, and the evangelicals altogether are only about 25,000, yet they have almost the same standing. What one enjoys, they all enjoy. And so because the Catholic Church has so many opportunities, so do the Protestants and the evangelicals. And the evangelicals, they make the most of them. They work and operate an influence that's 10 times their size. The Catholic Church backs Lech Wałęsa, the man who came out of the Gdansk shipyards 4 years ago to lead the Free Trade Union of Solidarity, now illegal and outlawed. And I was in a small hotel about 2 years ago, when I was having a meal at night, and looked behind when there was some commotion, and there was Lech Wałęsa when I was able to take this photograph. A man of deep faith with a large family has been in prison, prepared to stand up to the authorities, and although they have tried to make him a Mr. Nobody, the international media intend to maintain him as a Mr. Somebody. A man who's won the Nobel Peace Prize, and for that very reason, he's a man of importance as far as the world press is concerned. Consequently, whatever he does is brought to international attention. But just 4 years ago, when the Solidarity was rising to its most important period of history, at the same time, Poland, who has always had economic problems, was confronted with even greater ones. Namely, the economic situation's always been bad. And it became even worse. Even in the 20-odd years we've been going to Poland, we know that the people could never get meat, fresh meat, more than twice a week. And for that, they queued up for 4 to 5 hours anyway. But as the Solidarity grew stronger, so all the foods began to disappear. The milk products, the garden products, and meat, and then not only food, but all the necessities of life. Hardware, clothing, textiles, footwear, things you need for your cars, batteries, tires, oil, everything began to disappear. And throughout the months of 1981, it became intolerable. People either slept, went to work, or stood in line. For hours on end, I was in the country 5 or 6 times. I saw youngsters lining 5 hours to get 2 pounds of flour. You lined up 2 days to get 2 pounds of fresh meat. Life was desperate. In August of that year, after completing a camp, we made arrangements with preachers, evangelists, elders, and workers we'd known for years. If we could get supplies into the country, they would prayerfully, carefully, wisely, and humbly distribute them. We knew if we could get them in, they would go in without any customs. Now, you notice the operation. We came back to Britain, made it known amongst prayer friends, and within a week, a certain group offered us a coach to carry 7 tons of food. We asked God to give us in the region of $15,000 or so to fill it. Whilst I was preparing, ordering food on a wholesale scale from various suppliers, so the same group came back a week later and said, we can supply you with a 20-ton truck if you can fill it. We asked God to give us $40,000 to $50,000 to fill that. And within 5 weeks, we were on our way. The exceeding abundance of our God. And we got out to Poland with a great big truck. You may never have seen a ton of food stacked up, my friends. If you haven't, you could get a surprise. When you see 20 tons, you get 20 surprises. We arrived out here in Western Poland with this vehicle. We had had difficulties, yes. We ran into a storm and thought we'd lost a good deal of our supplies on the North Sea, but the Lord delivered us. This particular traction unit belongs to a Christian firm in the south of England, and I've hired it on 6 occasions. It changed colour on its last trip, but more about that in a moment. And the fact is that they go out to pick up bottles and jars, they ply in glass, and we were taking out our food. They dropped off the food as I directed, and then on the way back they picked up their glasswares. The young man here is a local preacher and evangelist in Western Poland. The 10 tons we left where his assembly stands was distributed into 5 other cities in the subsequent weeks. The other 10 tons went to the south. By Christmas, I wanted to go back again of 81, but the military took over 3 days ahead of us, and we had to wait 6 weeks to get visas for 2 trucks. And this time we were told to go straight to Warsaw only because the military were in control. We went to Warsaw, but we also went to 3 other cities without telling them. And we went over on this ferry, out of a place called Sheerness on the River Thames, over to Flushing in Holland. And we drove right across the Low Countries, West Germany, East Germany, ultimately into Poland and over to Warsaw. From Britain, a 3,000-mile round trip, 6 days and 7 days and nights en route, averaging 3 hours a day of sleep, working away to get the load in. When we went off in early 82, it was midwinter, minus 25 degrees centigrade along the way. When we arrived in Warsaw in these wartime conditions, it was bleak, barren and deserted. 9:30 at night, the only odd vehicle on the darkened streets was an occasional taxi. No public transport, nothing. Wartime London reenacted. We could only pitch our 2 vehicles end to end outside the place, one of the assemblies where they gather, and wish for day. We left somebody on guard because the black market value of what we had in those vehicles was worth in the region, you may never believe it, of about $750,000. Therefore, we had to take every precaution with what we had. But by next morning, we unloaded here. And then we moved off with our vehicles to 6 different dropping points. One of them was away in the south, through 15 military checkpoints. And there in the late at night, with 1 hour to curfew, we began to unload what I wanted to leave here, 12 tons in the basement of a new assembly hall only opened 3 years earlier. Been our joy to help with the construction of that financially. So here in the basement for an hour, we worked feverishly until 11 o'clock. After that, you could be shot on the streets. And then waited until after 6 in the morning before we could start again. But inside, you see something of the foods that we were carrying. 40 different varieties of food, 5 types of beverages, 6 types of tinned fish and meat, dried fruit, dried vegetables, and all the protein-rich items. And among them, instant potato. I think what you call flake potato. You know, I took some in the October, our first visit, and apparently when the Christians saw this white powder, they looked at each other and they said, well, what's this, wallpaper paste? They'd never seen the like of it before. They made it up and enjoyed it. Couldn't get a hold of enough of this potato powder. I knew nothing of this. And I arranged to take a ton with me there in January, but made a mistake, and I found myself with 2 tons. And I got down here to the south of Poland with piles and piles, great masses of this instant potato. I didn't know it. They had none. It became a smash hit. Forgive the pun. But they really went for it. And you know, there wasn't another potato to be had for the next 3 months. That's what made it so vital. They lived from that potato as a substantial contribution. The dear brother here, more about him in a moment. We praise God for what we were able to do. But by March of 82, things were rolling. Funds were coming in from across the world. Some of you have helped here from North America. We want to thank any of you that have shared in this ministry. God has entrusted us with literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in this ministry over the last 3 years. It's been our joy to take in 160 tons of supplies. So we went out again in the March of that year, taking not 2 trucks only, but a larger one. Now, I've trained in 2 trades or crafts and 1 profession in my life, but I've never learned how to drive a truck. But I took Ephesians 4:13 literally. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we piled up the truck and got the other one ready. 6 to 8 weeks of preparation, planning and organization. And with a friend, we set off. And you know, it's not too bad. You know, across Europe, we're crazy with speed limits. They go up to 100 and more miles an hour on the German autobahns. Cruising along at 55 miles an hour with 4 tons of supplies is almost a holiday. Well, it is if you forget all the hard work of loading and unloading. So we finally made it out there at 6 points. And 2 of our points, one of them was a children's home in Warsaw with 120 children from broken homes run by the state. And here we were able to leave, and have been able to leave, 6 times a supply of food as a simple expression of our Christian concern to these young people and to the state that we Christians are concerned. As a result, this home is now open for the gospel. Workers out of Warsaw are going regularly to teach the children. A number have been to the summer Bible camps and have professed conversion in Christ. A month ago in Poland, I had 3 letters from 3 directors of children's homes expressing their appreciation for the supplies we had taken in. Do pray with us, and at the same time, praise God for what he's doing. Opening up communist-run, state-controlled children's homes to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's thrilling. And praise God for those who have been converted. Another place we went to, the hospital. A large hospital of over 1,000 beds in the south. A maternity wing within it of 120 beds. This, dear friends, is the intensive care section, would you believe it? Medical people in Europe tell me, in the Western world tell me, it is at least 30 years behind in its equipment. But that's what they've got to live with in Poland. They are living 20 to 30 years behind our Western standards. Somehow, they try to survive. And so we've left over 6 tons of supplies there. Came the summer of 82. we believe that the Lord would provide from the normal course of the summer produce, and he did. And I went to Poland in that September to check the situation. 400% inflation had rationed food so that they couldn't afford to buy it. Secondly, mothers came to me and said, look, we've got ration cards to go and get footwear from the footwear shops. The footwear shops are open, but they've got no supplies. Our children are having to go to school in their bedroom slippers. Can you help us? Another burden. Returning to Britain, the Lord led me with much prayer and many, many hundreds praying. I came into contact with a man, a Christian, dealing in wholesale footwear supplies. Within hours, we had ordered 2,000 pairs of new footwear. In the subsequent years, we have picked up from him 10,000 pairs of new footwear. Winter boots, moon boots, all types of winter footwear, summer, spring, and autumn footwear, all sizes, all shapes, all materials, and God has supplied. And so that November of 82, not one or two trucks, but four, over 30 tons, and we rejoiced that every need was met. Came the following summer. I felt we must check the situation, hoping that Poland would begin to cope for itself a bit. I went out with a 4-ton truck, only to find that things were no better. By the following Christmas, 83, I was constrained, as my wife and I prayed over this, we felt we had to do something again. And looking to God in faith for tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, the Lord enabled us to go out once again with 25 tons of supplies. Deep midwinter, a week before Christmas, and the man standing here is a Polish customs official. 5 hours he watched the unloading of all those supplies. Every two or three cartons he would slash it open to check that the contents were what was stated on the outside. They were careful. God bless us. Encouraged and directed. And so we got through with all these fantastic supplies, encouraging the saints, refreshing them, and leading on God's work. As this past year came on, I monitored the situation before the Lord, and it became clear that we would have to do something. And so, with an even larger vehicle, the traffic regulations had changed. They could now take a vehicle carrying 26 tons and not just 20. So with this large and newer vehicle, and with a driver up here who had been with me on 5 other occasions, and this time with his young wife and also his younger brother to help me in driving the car, off we went once again a few days before Christmas, about the first week of December. And on the high roads across East Germany, you see the total 38-ton vehicle carrying 25 to 26 tons of supplies, and I'm leading in the car, because after delivering the Polish supplies, I went on to other countries to deliver further Christmas cheer to those in need. When we got to the border, the customs official insisted that we make a tunnel right down the length of this vehicle. We had to lift out 200 to 300 parcels with the aid of 6 conscript soldiers. And as you see the driver here, and the height of the whole affair, these containing clothes, all types of medical aids, these big boxes containing the footwear, and here a plastic shrunk, all the food, in over 22 pallets, many of them with up to a ton and more of food on them. And in this remarkable way, the driver crawled his way all the way through, 30-odd feet down that little galleyway, and then out to the left-hand side. And when all the inspection was checked and opened again and again, only then did they release us and clear the whole delivery. But the 6 soldiers, as they repacked the stuff, they helped themselves to some of the open boxes of chocolates and shoes, and we noticed that only when we were delivering to our destination. And when I remarked about this to our Polish Christian friends, well, they said, the soldiers are in desperate need also. So we just marvel at what God did for us. At the first port of call, inside Western Poland, we unloaded a quarter of the load, and here we left it to be distributed into a certain type of warehouse here, and there it was left and distributed to 5-6 different cities all up the western areas of Poland by various preachers whom we know there. Then we went on down to the south with the other 3 quarters, and here you see being unloaded as soon as possible, dark, but many people there to help, including the ladies, inside the basement of that building and stacking it neatly and working feverishly, so I thought you might like to get an idea of what 3/4 of our load constituted. There is just one wall, and there again is another wall, and you get a little idea of what that means. And there again is yet another wall, stacked high with hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of tins and packages of food and supplies, and 3/4 of a ton of confectionery, taken from one of the well-known stores. Those of you know Britain know Marks and Spencer's, and we draw from them because their supplies are good. But we get no reduction on buying wholesale purchases. And then, whenever we take in these confectionery supplies, we also know we're helping their sugar rations, because to get a bar of chocolate, you have to lose something on your sugar ration card. So the children, if they have a sweet, they have to go without it in the cooking, in the kitchen. So there are the problems of Poland today. And then there were 1.25 tons of medical supplies. 1/4 ton given by a Glasgow hospital. The other ton purchased. And again in the 6 various loads that we've taken to that hospital I showed you, have included up to 500,000 antibiotic tablets, over 1,000,000 vitamin supplies and tablets, plus hundreds of other types of surgical and clinical supplies, operating knives, disposable syringes, transfusion tubes, and all the other things which are so vital and totally missing in Poland today. Sheets, various types of help in terms of towels and clothing, all to help the patients. What an opportunity. What a privilege. Brothers and sisters, we need help. Poland needs help. Think about it as you enjoy so much abundance yourselves. We've been the hands in the, by the grace of God, channeling out to them, and the situation has hardly improved. As we move on, you see some of the men who have helped. He is one of the chief distributors from that southernmost point where we left about 19 tons on this last visit. So that was distributed to no less than 25 cities and towns, including right up to Warsaw, as well as the hospital, the children's homes, and the like. Another brother who was the chief representative of the assembly in the area, now too old and retired. This brother's now the chief representative, a master tailor by craft. This man's a university-trained horticulturalist, now with his 2 sons given over to full-time work in the tremendous expansion of assembly work in the part of Poland. Listen to a bit of it. Warsaw is a lovely city. The Nazis nearly wiped it out, 90%, but rebuilt beautifully and painstakingly with slender resources. 1.5 million live here today. The Nazis eliminated 1,000,000 on its streets during 4 to 5 years occupation. But here within the city, there is one shop which has never closed its door, the Bible Society, and they are working feverishly and beautifully. The chief secretary today is this lady, Mrs. Barbara Enholz-Nazinska. Her husband is the bishop of the Lutheran Church. Sadly, we fear not a born-again man. But nevertheless, she is faithful in presenting and preparing the Word of God. And 200,000 Bibles at least, plus scores of thousands of New Testaments and hundreds of thousands of portions of Scripture are being printed annually. We've had the joy of purchasing from the Society up to many, many tens of thousands of dollars, and these Bibles and Scriptures put into the hands of our workers. They are not given away, except to the extremely poor who can't afford them. They are sold deliberately because people cherish what they buy. And with the proceeds, the property has been purchased, renovated, and then used for the furthering accommodation of the newly developing assemblies and home Bible study groups. Children's work, youth work, camps, 50, 60 a year, for the whole of July and August are maintained in 6 Bible campsites around the country. We are helping to equip those campsites and houses. It's a great opportunity for thousands of being converted. I can tell you, when you go to camp in these places, it's not for 2 half-hour talks. It is for 4 and 5 1-hour lectures day by day. These youngsters are hungry for the Word of God. This is one of the new camp houses that have been purchased 2 years ago. Purchased for a song. You'd never believe that quite attractive building, through the aid of us Western friends, We were able to help. They bought it for $15,000. And now in the grounds, they are able to put up a beautiful big tent supplied by the West German assemblies. And every day, 200 to 250 young people meet in it to hear the Word of God preached throughout 2 months of the summer. And only 3 weeks ago, I was here ministering to a winter camp. The streets were, the trees were covered with 6 inches to a foot of heavy snow. Delightful Christmas card scenery. And inside, 60 young people sharing in a winter camp. And God was working amongst them, drawn from 2 or 3 major assemblies here in the south of Poland. God is graciously working. In the place where we delivered the food and where you saw most of it unloaded in the basement, this is the main meeting room. And I was there in July when a baptism took place. There were 26 baptized from 4 local towns, the ages of 13 to 73. The 73-year-old was the father of the principal of a small Bible school. A month after he was baptized, the Lord took him home. What a way to enter glory, obedient to his master in the act of baptism. And it thrills us to know that these assemblies are growing. Do you know, just 4 years ago, the assemblies withdrew unilaterally from an evangelical federation. They'd been in that federation for over 20 years. They felt restricted. They withdrew. The government recognized them. They've been doing their own work since. When they withdrew, they were approximately 30 to 35 assemblies of varying sizes, a good many of them quite small. In the 4 years since, they have virtually doubled. Today, they are 70 plus assemblies of varying sizes. Some of them 200 to 300 strong, others new developing ministries. Radio work is permitted in Poland. Every night of the week, there is a 15-minute shortwave broadcast from Monte Carlo. We sponsor the Saturday night program. Thousands are writing in annually, telling of conversions, wanting Bibles, wanting visits, asking questions. Wherever possible, follow up through literature, through the post, and personal visits. And young men are being trained for this. 2 years ago, the first of the Bible schools, previously 16 weekends a year, last year, for the first time, a full whole year of Bible training. Young men giving up their jobs, going back when they're finished, to help in the local assemblies or being prepared in some cases to move out with young wives to new areas to take over the newly expanding little house groups which are developing through the radio and other ministry. This is the principle. And just 3 weeks ago, I was here ministering in the Bible school. They've now got 20 students for the present year's course. These people have become the second year and doing it at weekends. During the week I was with them, I gave 27 lectures and ministered 5 evenings in 5 different places. When we go to minister and work in these countries, we don't just exactly do a couple of meetings a week or even a day. We put a month into a week, and we have to look to God for sustaining grace. The weather was cold and bitter, and the young men in the Bible school, they were feeding from 80% Western foods that we and others had taken in. The camps I referred to in the winter, the young people were being fed from the foods we had taken in. If it weren't for those foods, the school couldn't run, the camps couldn't run. You see another vital channel for the foods. Poland is blessed with literature supplies. I've mentioned the Bibles and scriptures. They're also getting many booklets. This is one young man now in full-time work. And with his young wife, he's going up to the big shipping port of Gdansk. Right across the north of Poland, since last May, we've opened 5 new assemblies in 5 new towns hitherto where no assembly work existed. He is going to the place of Gdansk. They have just obtained or bidded for a most attractive-looking detached house, which will be converted into a chapel and meeting place for the assembly there once the purchase goes through, and they have every hope. But I was able, by God's grace and the friendship and by the loving fellowship of God's people, to lead the first major contributory gift to the purchase of that property. This is part of the ministry, and we've had the joy of doing this for over 100 buildings throughout the 25 years of working in communist Eastern Europe. Great opportunities today, beloved brothers and sisters. This building, or these buildings, have been purchased. The assembly in this town, it looks nothing to you. I appreciate that. But I can tell you it's a miracle in the heart of Poland. It's in a tourist center. We helped to see a building erected here 20 years ago where the assembly gathered. 2 years ago, they were told to get out for a road widening scheme. When the communist authorities put you out, they don't offer